Very happy we started doing this moment with the children, just getting to pray over them or get to look into a little moment of our junior church teachers and what they're pouring into our kids, and it's an awesome thing, so I'm excited for that. Well, have you declared war? We've been in the series now for a few weeks, and I don't know where you're at with this. Some of you, I know you've communicated with me and you've been honest with where you're at with this. But, I mean, the question remains, have you declared war? Or are you just trying to ride this series out and hope the next one's better? Has the enemy convinced you that this is too radical and the best thing to do is to remain apathetic in your Christian walk and say, well, if I don't make any decision, my life will stay the same way it's always been, and that's better for me. Now, I'm sure Satan isn't telling you, like, remain apathetic. That's certainly not the language he would use. He would get you to think that this series is for people who are really messed up. People like me, as I feel that way. And if you've walked with Jesus long enough, you probably only are realizing more and more how messed up you are. And how bad it really is, and how much we really needed Jesus to show up. You might think, well, this isn't just for the average sinner saved by grace like yourself. Or Satan will get you to remain skeptical while you figure out what all this war language is about. You want to get a little further into it before you make a decision. Well, what this series is about, and what I hope you'll take very seriously, is declaring war on the enemies of our soul. Three enemies the Bible makes very clear as you read it: Satan, the world, and ourselves. And since most spiritual warfare teachings, they focus on Satan and the world, when you think of spiritual warfare, generally you think, oh, well, they're going to preach about Satan, they're going to preach about the world, they're going to preach about demons, they're going to preach about all this stuff. This series is going to focus on our greatest enemy, ourselves. And hopefully you realize just how often maybe you put the blame on one of the other enemies in order to relieve yourself of any responsibility to say, well, it was Satan, or it was the world. It was my workplace that caused the problem. It was that other person and what they did. They're the ones that made me respond that way. They're the ones that made me speak like that or do that thing. Instead of understanding that we are our greatest enemy in our pursuit with Jesus. If you don't think that you need to wage war on your flesh to walk with Jesus, either you don't know Jesus or you must have gotten saved on your way in this morning. Because if you've been with Jesus long enough, you realize there is something desperately wrong with myself. Because just like Paul says, I want to do what is right, but I end up doing the exact opposite. And I don't want to do what's wrong, but I end up doing that. Like, why is that? Why does that keep happening? Well, it's because when you became a believer, Spirit of God entered you, and you now have an eternal part of you, the holy side of you, the righteous part that wants to serve God. But you're still stuck in this earthly body that says, I don't want that so much. And so war begins to happen. You have waged war. And that's why this series, hopefully you've determined, you know what? It's time to declare war, because you're already in it. And if you're not willing to, then you're just sticking your head in the sand in the middle of a battlefield, and you're just getting lit up all the time because you're acting like you're not in the midst of a war. And if you say, I don't believe that, that's not my experience, you are wrong, then I say, okay, you're not a Christian. Because if you are, you will experience the battle. If there's no war, it means that you don't have the opposing side, which is Christ in you. And that's your first problem. Now, my preaching's not the problem. It's that. That's the issue, is that there isn't tension. There isn't a problem. There isn't something at war within you. Hopefully, you've been able to see the truth of what we're discussing in this series, and hopefully, you've recognized that while Satan and the world remain a threat to our spiritual walk, we are the greatest enemy to experiencing the abundant life Christ has for us. Because he has so much for us. I don't know how many of you are parents, but if you've ever been stuck in one of those parenting situations where you want to do something really awesome for your kids, but they are bonkers and they will not obey you so that you can give them something good. It's like you want to give them something good, but you don't want to reward that behavior. And so you have to withhold a blessing in order to not reinforce poor behaviors. We've been there often. I just read a story of a parent who told their kids they were going on this like big, awesome trip. And so as they're traveling, the kids are constantly fighting in the back, and she warns them once, she warns them twice, and then she turns the car around, they go home, they unpack the whole car, and they go about their business. What the kids didn't know was the trip wasn't actually till the next week. But the next week when they packed up and got on the road, there was no fighting whatsoever. Because they knew mom meant business. She will turn this car around and go home and unpack everything. And yeah, there was some work on packing things, but that five-hour drive went without any problems. That's worth every bit of packing and unpacking. But you know you can't reward poor behavior sometimes, and so you might be sitting there wondering, why doesn't God bless me? He doesn't want to reward poor behavior. He knows if he gives you those things, if he unleashes his blessings on you, it'll ruin you. The word tells us that. It tells us that God, he's a loving God. He wants to bring blessings about. Now, that doesn't always look the way you think it looks. Blessings might not be in the package you think they are, because there doesn't mean your bank account's going to get bigger. It doesn't mean your car is going to look nicer. It doesn't mean you're going to have the nicest house on the block. Sometimes blessings mean you struggle more than everybody else, and God meets you in that place. But we must walk with him and engage in this battle that is within us. My hope and prayer is you've gotten tired enough of allowing your flesh to sabotage you, and you're ready to declare war against it, because it has declared war against you. And you're just a punching bag unless you're willing to declare war back. As Reverend Allen taught us last week, this will require submitting and resisting. So I want to look today at some specific ways to submit and resist in our journey with God. So what is a practical way to submit that helps us battle the enemy of ourselves? It starts with a prayer that sounds a whole lot like this. Psalm 139 verses 23 to 24 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. Search me, test me, lead me." This is a powerful prayer. Craig Rochelle, in his book, Winning the War in Your Mind, it's one of the books I highly recommend you purchase. A lot of what we'll talk about, you'll find in that book. He says, "Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts." This is a very real truth. You wonder why so much of what God teaches us is about taking our thoughts captive and controlling what we think and speaking out and thinking in certain directions, because our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. David understood this truth, and so he prays a bold and honestly dangerous prayer. Because if you pray this with all sincerity, if you truly sit before God and ask him, "Search me, test me, lead me," you will become aware of the ugliness of our greatest enemy, ourselves. Like if you truly sit before God and ask him, "God, search me, test me, and then lead me. Reveal these things to me." Jeremiah 17, 9 to 10 says, "The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? I, Yahweh, examine the mind. I test the heart to give to each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve." We tend to think of ourselves as generally good. Like when we're sitting and we're thinking about our own actions, our own motives, our own self, we tend to think of ourselves as pretty good. Now, that doesn't discount the negative thoughts and stuff that roam through our minds. But generally speaking, we think, am I a good person? We think, yeah, I'm a pretty good person. Because we have spent countless hours rationalizing our behavior and saying, well, I mean, I know I did that or I said that, but this is why. And we rationalize our motives and all of the things around us and why we do things. But when you pray David's prayer sincerely and with an open mind and heart, as Jeremiah states, we become aware of how deceitful and incurable our flesh is. It just deceives us time and time and time again. I mean, how many times have you been convinced that if you just depart from what you know God wants for you, it will finally bring that pleasure or that satisfaction that you wanted? And it might have for a moment, but it always robs you. And it lied. It did not bring what it said it would bring. And Jeremiah reiterates that it is God who examines and tests our hearts. It's God's job to do that. We're really bad at self-examination and getting to the root of some of the sin problems in our life, because we will tend to just deal with the symptoms of the problem and just say, well, if I stop this behavior, that means I'm better. And God knows better than that, that our sin goes deeper. It's why Ezekiel, we read about the necessity of a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And if only having a new heart fixed everything and we stopped dealing with our sinful flesh, wouldn't that be great? Like we came to know Jesus and we instantly stopped sinning and everything got so much better, right? That would just be amazing. Because when we become a believer, the Bible, the Word of God tells us that we're a new creation. Why? Well, because he's created a new heart in us. He's put his spirit in us. Something has drastically shifted. However, what really has happened is the war has begun. Now there is a battle for our soul. Before, our flesh just had free reign. It did whatever it wanted. The only thing we were really worried about were consequences, getting caught, getting seen for the sinful person we were. We really had no desire to honor God. We might have wanted to fit into a group of people. We might have wanted to not sin so that the church people, if we attended church, they approved of us and they liked us because we didn't sin, at least in their presence. We didn't honestly want to honor God. Once Jesus enters our life, once the Spirit is within us, a desire is born to honor God, to live for him, to live for his glory, for his honor, and out of gratitude. So when we pray David's bold prayer for God to search me, test me, lead me, the goal of this entire prayer is to identify the lies. That's the goal, identifying the lies in our life. And so the first big question I have for you this morning, what lies are you believing which are hindering your walk with God? We all have them. I mean, a couple weeks ago, I had you pull your phone out and turn your front-facing camera on, and if you weren't hit with a lie immediately upon looking at yourself in your front-facing camera, you're better than most people, because most of us are like, ah, as soon as we saw that. And there's a lie. You're not good enough. Your appearance isn't good enough. You should be ashamed of the way you look. You need to lose some weight. You need to gain some weight. You need to do this. You need to do that. We're constantly hit with these lies, whether they're performance-based, whether they're sin-based, whatever they are, these lies that infiltrate our minds, that in many cases get free reign in our minds. We know we shouldn't think that. We know we shouldn't feel that way. And you want to know if it's a lie or not? Is ask yourself, would I want what I'm thinking being spoken over the person I love the most? Probably not. Some of the things that go through our minds about our inadequacy, about how messed up we are, about how evil we are, about whatever it is, we wouldn't want that spoken over our wife or over our kids. And it's the enemy trying to deceive us. See, if you're able to pray David's prayer with sincerity, be prepared. as you sit before God and say, search me, God. Reveal these lies to me. Be prepared for God to point out lies that you've grown to accept as truth. Some of these you'll think that, but that's not a lie. That's truth. Why? Because what is one of the enemy's greatest abilities in lying is he puts just enough truth in the lie to make it seem right, because he includes a little Bible verse in it even that we think, well, that's true. It's in the Word of God. It must be true. Maybe you'll hear lies like, nobody really loves me. They just like the version of me that I've given them. I have to do this because if they really knew me, they would reject me. Or maybe, I'll never be close to God like so-and-so. I am too messed up to ever experience real intimacy with God. Or maybe my life and destiny are unimportant. The best I can do is try not to get in the way of people who really matter, and maybe I can help them do something important. Or another lie you hear might be, I need to get my life right before God can ever use me. I'm almost there, just a little more effort. Or maybe I must be the only one who struggles as much as I do with my spiritual life. I have to keep faking it so people don't realize how broken and messed up I really am. Or maybe I have to work hard to prove I belong, but deep down I know I'll never be enough or measure up. I know some of these lies are resonating with you. I know some of these are hitting home for some of you. They hit home for me. They're lies I've believed. Some of them I have to actively make sure I don't believe still to this day. But these are all lies. There is some truth in each one of those. There is even some biblical truth in some of those. But that's the best lie. Just enough truth to get you hooked in. But where it leads you is a lie. Because if it doesn't lead you to the feet of Jesus, it's a lie. Just like we talked about a couple weeks ago in shame. Shame can be a good thing if it leads us to the arms of Jesus. But if it leads us to focus on ourselves, it's not productive and it's evil. What is Satan's primary weapon against us? Speaking lies. It's always been, from the garden till today, his greatest weapon is speaking lies. Because some of you, you tried not to break while I was reading some of those lies because they hit harder and closer to home than you are comfortable with. And you're trying to keep it together. But the enemy has assaulted you. He has destroyed you. He has broken you with those lies. And it's his greatest weapon. So what should be our primary weapon against Satan? If his weapon is speaking lies, our greatest weapon is what? Trying harder? Reading more Bible verses? Tithing more? Doing more for God? Having perfect church attendance? Now, we know those aren't the answer, but it's what we're doing. It's how we're fighting our battles. If his primary weapon, if Satan's primary weapon is speaking lies, then our primary weapon against him is speaking truth. And you know that. But most of you don't do it. You're saying amen, you're shaking your head, yes, but how many of us on a regular basis are speaking truth over ourselves? Now, I don't even remember when this series was. I don't even remember what series it was from. But I remember I encouraged you to look yourself in the eyes in the mirror and begin to speak identity statements that God has spoken over yourself, speaking truth to yourself. Some of you may have done that. You may have done it for a short time, and then you stopped. Speaking truth is our greatest weapon against Satan's greatest weapon. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32 says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" So what are the practical steps to submitting and resisting, as Reverend Allen taught us last week? Number one, identify the lies. That's the submission part. It's sitting before God and saying, "God, search me." And you're submitting yourself to his truth and to the process and to what might be some really ugly truths that God reveals to you. And number two, you declare the truth that demolishes the lie. Because if all you do is allow God to speak the ugliness over you, man, that's going to be a depressing place to be. Unless you declare the truth that demolishes the lie. Submit to God by asking him to search us and to test us. And then resist the devil by allowing God to lead you to his truth and declaring it out loud and declaring it often. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5 says, "For though we live in the body, we do not wage war in an unspiritual way. Since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds." And I just want to repeat that real quick. "Since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds, we demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ." I mean, this is what this series is all about. We are not prisoners to our thoughts and the lies that Satan has spoken over us. The Greek here for the word take captive, or for the idea of take captive, it's the idea of subduing someone and taking them prisoner with a sword or a spear. So remind me real quick, those of you that know the Word of God, what is the only offensive weapon in the armor of God? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So what are we supposed to take or supposed to use to take our thoughts captive? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I mean, there is so much truth here that we just ignore and don't practice and make a regular part of our lives. I'm telling you, reading your Bible is not enough. You must speak out those words. God did what with creation? He spoke it. He could have just thought it, and it would have happened just the same. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. But there's a reason he spoke it out. There's a reason that Jesus, one of the things that always kind of intrigued me is when Jesus is in front of the tomb and Lazarus is dead. Jesus narrates the whole thing. Why? All he just had to stand there and Lazarus could have popped out of that grave. But he speaks everything out for the benefit of us to know that there is so much power in his spoken word. And too often we just sit and we look at it. I mean, even the science backs it up, and that when you're reading something, all you have to do is speak what you're reading and your comprehension immediately goes up. It more than doubles your brain's ability to interpret and process and do something with it if it's just spoken out. You just hear your own voice saying it. And there's something neurological that happens. When someone else speaks something, it does something. But when you hear your own voice speaking things, you give yourself the most credit and you trust yourself the most. So it does something to your brain, chemistry. when you hear yourself speak things over yourself. So what is the greatest lie seeking to control you and rob you of what God has for you? What is that this morning? You might not know. I love, you know, Nikki sharing with us a little bit of her journey and her story this morning. And you might be aware of some of the lies, but if you're willing to pray that prayer and say, "Search me, God. Test me." I don't encourage you to do that lightly. Like, that's not just a jovial little prayer. It could get ugly. And unless you're ready to enter a place of humility, and if you're not willing to bring others into that process and engage the community of God, you might be better not praying that, because you're going to get messed up. Because if you think you can go off solo and assault the armies of hell all by your lonesome and under your own strength, you're crazy. But invite some brothers or some sisters into this and say, "Hey, I'm asking God to do this for me. Will you pray this over me, and will you join me in this? Because I might need to process some of this stuff with you. And when God does speak something, I'm going to check it with you. And I'm going to have you help me through this process. And I'm going to invite you to speak God's truth over me, because I might not be able to see the truth in this. I might not be able to figure out what is lie and what is truth in this. So will you join me?" This is what we should expect God to speak to us when we pray and ask him, "Search us, test us, lead us." So what can we take away from what we're talking about today? What do we do with this? Well, are you willing to declare war against your greatest enemy and pray a bold prayer that invites God to reveal the most powerful lies in your life? Because I promise, when he illuminates and identifies those lies, it can break you. Because you will realize that maybe the way you parented was changed because you believed that lie. Friends that you've lost are a result of you believing a lie. Maybe your own marriage has suffered because you've believed a lie, and there's got to be some humility to say, "That was a lie, and it wrecked me." Instead of saying, "Well, it's not that big a deal. I mean, yeah, but everybody feels that way. Everybody has that lie." And that's the enemy trying to downplay what God is doing. When he speaks those lies, let them be identified for the lies they are. If you're willing to do that, then don't stop there. Allow God to lead you to his truth. And don't stop there. Declare the truth that God reveals to you, which demolishes the lie. Whatever lie the enemy is speaking over you, there is truth in the word of God that will directly go against it. And so you allow God to lead you to that, and then you begin to declare it. And if you're doing that, then don't stop there. Keep declaring that truth over and over and over and over again. Because if you're like many people, every time you look in the mirror, that lie gets spoken over you. Every time someone doesn't answer your phone call, that lie gets spoken over you. Every time someone seems to have a problem with you or speaks poorly of you, that lie gets spoken over you. And so this isn't just a one-time thing where you look up a verse and you say a verse out loud and whoop, everything's fixed. Keep declaring that truth over and over and over and over again. And don't stop there. Keep praying that prayer so God will reveal more and more of the lies which Satan has spoken over you, some of which you don't even know are rattling around in your mind. You've not even been able to identify as a lie. And you can declare more truth over more lies and get more freedom and rob Satan of the power he has had over you. And like the Word of God says, to take captive every thought to obey Christ and His truth. This is how we do that, is by speaking out and declaring His truth. Now, as an example, I'm just going to be vulnerable with you guys this morning. And I want to share with you what this has looked like for me, because I'm not telling you to do something I haven't done myself. I've had to go through and I've had to identify the lies, and I've written what I call personal declarations using the truth of God that I speak over myself often. If you look at, I have a document that I keep that I use for like my to-do list and things that I need to do every day. It's something I look at often, and I see these truths and I speak these truths often. So for me, it became identify the lie. Big lie in my life, being a middle child, having the way I grew up, was no matter how hard I try, I will never be good enough. That lie is in my head every day. And so some of the truth that I found against that is Romans chapter 8, verse 17. It says, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 to 13 says, for the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers. I will sing hymns to you in the congregation. Again, I will trust in him. And again, here I am with the children God gave me. Psalm 139, 13 to 15 says, for it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. And so I can't tell you how often I have to declare this truth to myself. So therefore, the declaration I make founded in the truth of God is my value comes from the Lord. Not what I can do, what I am doing, or have done for him. That's the truth I declare. My value comes from the Lord, not what I can do, am doing, or what I have done. Because it's hard for me to think that my value comes from something else, or I am devalued by my past. The second lie that and the last one I'll identify for you this morning. My worth is directly related to the quality of work I produce. I am worthy to the extent of what I can do for others or the work that I produce. So the truths that I use over this. And whatever you do in word, Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for God's glory. Therefore, the declaration I make, founded in the truth of God, is I will give my best to everything I do, not because it increases my worth, but because it honors God. And so I just want to be honest with you. I mean, myself, I feel like I need to put out better and better work product so that my worth will increase. It's hard for me to just sit back and know I am worthy because of who Jesus says I am. And maybe that doesn't resonate with you, and that's okay. But these are some of the lies I've allowed God to root out in my life. And I'm still on the journey. I'm still asking God, search me, test me, lead me, because I don't like living that way. I don't like living in a way that I feel like I have to earn God's favor, I have to earn his approval. What declarations need to become a part of your daily routine to take captive every thought? Use God's word to develop these personal declarations that speak his truth directly over that lie. What declaration do you need to demolish the lie that is in your life? Because I promise you, I've been saying some of these for years, and they're still a daily project for me at times. That I need to remind myself daily, this is what is true, not the thoughts that rattle around in my mind. So this week, identify the lies and declare the truth that demolishes the lie. I can't explain to you the power this stuff has. you all will have lies that Satan will try to, and generally speaking, his lies will go directly against those things which God wants to do the most in you. They will specifically go after the greatest aspects of how God has designed you and how he's created you to be. He's not going to go after things that don't matter. The things that God is calling you to, the ministries he's calling you to, the people he's calling you to, Satan will try to develop lies that will keep you from what God has for you. So I encourage you, get into the Word of God. Don't just read it, but speak it and even make it your own. Come up with these. That's why the declarations I speak, they're not just scripture. It's me processing the scripture for my context and coming up with a declaration that is founded completely in his word. And I speak those over and over and over again to demolish the lies. I encourage you to do the same. You will continue to be your greatest enemy unless you're willing to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and take captive every thought. So that's your homework for this week. And if I could offer you a secondary homework, I would say, do a thought inventory this week. Keep a journal, keep a piece of paper with you, keep your phone handy. And anytime you hear a lie, you write it down, you type it out, and you try to compile the greatest, a complete list of the lies that you hear in 1 week. And then this would be your homework. Is whatever that lie is, you go to the Word of God and you find his truth. What does God say about that? And then you develop your personal declarations that you will speak over yourself. Look yourself in the mirror. Do yourself the favor. Look yourself in the mirror and speak those declarations out. And allow the Word of God to take captive every thought. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your truth, the power it has had in my life. Satan, from the earliest memories I have, has tried to rob me of what you have for me. And you, the truth of your word is the only thing that has demolished those lies and won freedom for me. So Lord, I pray over each and every one of us here this morning, God, that you would lead each person here first to the lie that is robbing them, and then to the truth that contradicts that lie and that will demolish the power of Satan in their lives. God, I pray we take this very seriously and that we declare war against these lies and against our flesh who seeks to take us away from who you are, that we would feed the Spirit through your word, through worship, whether it's a verse or a worship song or whatever it is that we need to speak out. Lord, I pray that you would lead us to those things and we would declare your truth over these lies and train our minds to honor you. Thank you, God, for the freedom that we can find in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. And if anybody needs prayer for healing or anything, the elders will be up front and the plates are in the back for benevolent offering. Have a great week.